that. All right. I'm going to take my text from Matthew 17 this morning. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, nothing will stop the church. Got some stories I want to tell you as we get into the Word this evening. In Matthew 17, beginning in verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, speaking of Jesus, kneeling before him, said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Now, many people have used this in reference to a powerless church. A powerless church. They would say that this is just a picture of how weak the body of Christ is. The disciples would be a representation of the church, and notice that this child was brought to the disciples, and they were unable, they were incapable of bringing healing to this young man. And so that has, for some, have preached that, where is the power in the church? Again, I want you guys to say this with me. Nothing will stop the church. Nothing will stop the church. All right. So, verse 17, Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? I want you to know he's speaking now to the disciples. He is talking to the disciples as well as those who saw the young man being brought to him. How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Look at your neighbor and say, he was healed instantly. Then the disciples, remember the word disciple, and I always like to break it down, means follower, it means imitator. It is somebody who's a learner. Disciple means learner, imitator, follower of the teacher. In this case, they were disciples of Jesus, so they were learning from the best. Amen? They were learning from the best. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you go to Jesus privately? You've just heard them being called a faithless and twisted generation. Wouldn't you want to go to Jesus alone? Say, listen, you know, I resemble the remark. You know, I want to know why we didn't have the goods. I want to know why we couldn't do what we should have been able to do. Amen. You know, Mark 16 says, these signs will follow them who believe. These signs will follow them who believe. Do I have any believers in the house? Interesting enough, I'll tell you a quick story. We'll go on with scripture. We had a message left on our phone. Today, left on our church phone from a church telling us we need help. We have demons that are scratching the congregation and we need help. Nothing will stop the church. I want you to know, and I want to declare and proclaim to you, the church is alive and well. Amen. The church is alive and well. How many believe God will have a people? Yes. Come on, if it's not going to be us, I want you to know it will be somebody. God has had and will have a church. I want you to know that. God is not short in what he has promised believers, and God will have a church. So the disciples came to Jesus privately, and here's what they asked. Why could we not cast out the demon? Why? We should have been able to do this. And, you know, it's not like they had not witnessed the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. They had been very close with him. They had witnessed miracle after miracle, one step of faith after another step of faith. And yet now it comes up to this. Years ago, go ahead, please. Amen. Amen. Several years ago, an evangelist was holding a revival, and some of you may have heard the story. It's a true story. He was holding a revival, and how many believe that there ought to be things done in order? How many believe in orderly things done in church? You guys believe that? You know, sometimes things get happening in churches, and people say, well, that's just God. You know, God's an orderly God. There is order to the things that the Lord does. You understand that, right? The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. Amen. Third person of the Godhead, he's a perfect gentleman. Well, this evangelist was trying to have a revival meeting at a particular church, and while he was trying to preach, one person from this side of the church would go over to the other side and just start casting out demons out of people in the church. Christians. And then this one would go over this side. I mean, they were casting out cough demons, and they were casting out infection demons, and they were casting out diabetes demons, and they were casting out heart disease demons, and they were just constantly. I mean, it was so disruptive. The evangelist went to the pastor and said, "You know, I'm having a very difficult time." He says, "Just normal, just normal." He says, "We cast out sometimes 100 demons in every given night." And that evangelist was really frustrated, but he was there to preach a revival. So he tried. Second night, he went through the same thing, and it was exactly the same. He's trying to preach, and got people going over here, and I cast out this foul spirit. Oh, it was just ridiculous. And so finally, the last night of this revival, by this time, I want you to know this evangelist was spent. How many have ever gotten just frustrated to no end? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you. I'm so glad I'm in the right house. I'll tell you what. This guy had just had it. He had talked to God. He had talked to the pastor. And he was really beside himself. Couldn't wait for the revival to end. And the very last night, a person entered the church that was possessed. I mean, it was the real deal. Now, I've told you it doesn't happen as often as people have. Especially even in the Bible days, there was less people. Demons are not multiplying. Come on, Jesus dealt with legion. There were many demons, but you know, there are the same amount of demons as what they were, but there are more people, so it is not as frequent. In fact, I can tell you in my years of ministry, I've dealt with one person that we had to deal with in that regard. And so I'm talking 23 years of full-time ministry. I've dealt with one. It's not a common practice, but anyway, this particular night, this person come in. And I mean, there was no question. I mean, there was no doubt you're dealing with the real McCoy now. So all of a sudden, the evangelist, the guy went up to actually raise up against the evangelist, and he just said, I'm going to stop you in Jesus' name. You just stop right there. Don't move. You stay right there. And that person just froze right there, did not move. He took authority, said, "Now I want you to stop." He said, "I'm not casting you out because I got a bunch of people here that's been practicing all week long." I got people been practicing all week long. I need you guys to come on up here. And they're like, no. You've been all week long interrupting my preaching. I haven't been able to have one successful night. You've been practicing on one another. And I want you to know, as Christians, you're not possessed with the devil. So I want you to know this is the real deal right here. Come on up here. Let's get to going on. And no. Oh, no. He made the point. Made the point. All right, so why could we not cast out this demon? Why were we not able to do it? We should have been able to do this. He said to them, "Because of your little faith." Ouch. 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 Can I tell you, if we had a issue as an individual believer, let's not talk corporate for a moment, let's talk individually. How many would agree with me? How many would agree with me that it's small faith? How many would agree that the truth of the matter is, we are not where we ought to be sometimes in Christ because we didn't believe our way there? Come on, we got to look to the healer, we got to look to the provider, we got to look to our Savior. Why is it we can believe unto salvation, but everything else, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough faith. Yes. It's true, right? You know, we'll believe God that God is a way maker and that He can take care of us until we're in the middle of something that we don't know how to get out of. And then where is God now? Right? Doctors just diagnosed something and I didn't want to hear that message, and now all of a sudden I've got to believe God for healing. Same God who saves is the same God who heals. Come on, church. So, we got to understand what the disciples, when Jesus said, "It's because you have little faith," how many would agree that He could be talking to some of us? He could probably talk to all of us at any given time in our walk with the Lord. Come on. How many times is it easier for you to believe for somebody else than it is for you to believe for yourself? Or is it a cop-out? Are you saying I believe for you? Do you really believe for them? Amen. Whatsoever things you believe, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you'll have them. Whatsoever things you are asking of God, when you pray, believe. Amen. Sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like we ought to have that, right? Amen. How many believe that you're everything that God says you are? How many believe you can have everything God says that you can have? Amen. I mean, the Word of God has already spelled it out for us, and we have to walk in the receiving end of what God has already promised us. Amen. He said, you have little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like, everybody say like, a grain of a mustard seed. I was very confused as a child when I read that, because I've heard people talk about mustard seed faith all my Christian walk. When I first heard that, I was told that all God wants us to have is that little mustard faith. He said, like mustard seed faith. It means that that faith, when it is given to you, might be small. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And what it says concerning the mustard seed, it grows up. How many's faith is growing here? Amen. Maybe you've believed God for some small things. I think it's time we start believing God for some bigger things. Come on, if we can set our faith in agreement one with another, we can believe God for anything. Amen. I mean, we can believe not only will mountains fall, but I believe that God wants to do some great things in our lives. Amen. How many want to walk in a little bit more? I'm talking about more authority, more power, come on, more freedom, more peace, more joy. Anybody need some more joy? Amen. We need a little bit more of what God has for us. And I'm going to tell you that is a product of your faith, what you can believe. Look what it says. If you have faith as a grain, like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Does anybody have a mountain you need to speak to? Come on, how many have some things you need to get over, get past, get through? How many have got some things that need to let go of your life? Come on. Those things are things that God wants you to speak to and have faith to see those things fall off your life. Who the Son hath set free? Free indeed. Come on, we need to walk in freedom. Come on, nothing is going to stop the church. Nothing's going to stop the church. Now look what he says. He says, you're going to say to your mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And I love this. Nothing will be impossible for you. I want you to catch the power of what Jesus is saying. You know, we often quote the scripture, with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible, right? But we were just told by Jesus that if we would have mustard seed type faith that grows for us, nothing will be impossible. Come on, is anybody really ready to some beating up some devils and stomping some giants in your life? Come on, does anybody want victory? Does anybody want to be an overcomer? Come on, does anybody want what you don't have yet in Christ? I'm talking about growing here. I'm talking about being everything that God's called you to be. Come on, let's make the demons in hell start to shake and tremble, because we start walking in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Listen, when Jesus came on the scene, let me tell you, the devil's kingdom got scared. Well, I think the devil's kingdom ought to be more scared now. Because nothing will stop the church. Amen. Nothing's going to stop the church. Jesus makes it very clear that the New Testament church is God's instrument in this age that he works through. Amen. Now you can go through all through the scripture and you will find different things that God used for the miraculous. When Moses was called, God gave him a rod. God used the rod. How many know that? How many remember that when Balaam was on his way to a direction he should not have gone, God used a mule to speak to him? Amen. You will find all through Scripture God using instruments to bring about his perfect will. God used things to do that. Well, I want you to know today, church, God uses us. Individually, yes. Corporately, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, God knows that we are his body. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many realize he did not leave until he sent his comforter? Amen? that would infill us. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Jesus makes it clear to us so that we know we are the church and we are God's instrument for this particular day. Matthew 16 and 18. I tell you, you are Peter. Now on this rock I will build my church. Now you guys have, many of you have been in my teaching, know that the rock that he's speaking of is not Peter. He's talking about the revelation that was just now said of who he was. How many know that you must first believe that he is? You cannot be saved unless you come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot until you recognize that he is the Messiah. You may not understand some of the terminology yet, and you'll come used to it, but till you realize he's the only one that can take away your sin. Why would you go to someone else to remove, but only he can remove? You can pray to Buddha, rub his belly. It's not going to take away your sin. You can pray to Allah. You can pray, listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, you can pray to Mother Mary. It's not going to do you any good. The Bible says we have one Savior, one high priest, one Jesus, amen, one Lord, praise God, one Christ, one Lamb of God. How many know what I'm talking about here? There's only one. There's one name under heaven whereby we might be saved. Only one name. It's Jesus Christ. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord of Lords, amen. He is the only way. How many know he's the only way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man is going to come to the Father except through me. Anyone that tries to get any other way is a thief and a robber. Will not make it. Are we clear? There's no other name. There's no other way. There's no other means. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Amen. We're not going to make it any other way. He's the only one. So he said, Peter, I want you to know that on this rock, the revelation of who I am, thou art the Christ, the only way. Thou art the Messiah. You're the only way. When Peter said that, he said, on that revelation, I will build my church. I like this, guys. Don't miss it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. Nothing will stop the church. I was in a conversation with two pastors yesterday afternoon. And one of the pastors said, listen, I want you to know we're in tough times. And I'm listening to them. I'm listening to what they have to say. I know the Bible says we're in perilous times. I get that. And I know that in this world we're going to have tribulation. The Bible tells us. But the Bible also says be of good cheer because he overcame the world. Amen. I hope I'm looking at people that are more than conquerors. Amen. Amen. I'm looking at people. The Bible said he has given us the victory in Christ. So you and I ought to be walking in victory. Is there any victory in the house? Yes. Come on. I ought to be looking at a house full of people that know what it is to overcome something once in a while. Come on. We're not being beat up and cast down because God's bigger than all that. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So come on, God's got this. How many believe that? So I was talking to him, and I was really not talking. I was listening for the few moments, and the one pastor said to me, he says, well, you know, he says, the government is really coming against the church. And he said, you know, they're coming again. They're wanting to shut the doors of the church. They're going to take our tax exemption away, and that may not mean a lot to you, but if they start charging tax on the church, you know, that's an added expense. It can be a very difficult, challenging expense. But you think God can't handle that? I mean, come on. A few years ago, we were paying $1.50, $1.60, $1.70 for gasoline. And today, we're paying $3-something a gallon for gasoline, right? Is anybody not buying gas? Did you come here with a horse and buggy, or are you still getting in a vehicle? You know, I mean, come on. Does God know? I mean, We're still pulling up to the gas station and getting fuel, right? I don't go up there with a protest sign saying, I'm sorry, I'm not paying for your gas. I'm not doing it. You know why? I really like driving. I really do. I mean, I could walk. I mean, it'd probably do me a little bit of good, but I don't really intend to walk to church. I drive to church. And even though the gas prices have increased, it has not stopped me from driving. Why? Because God's bigger than that. Come on, I know that prices have gone up in on all sorts of things, but is God not our source?
Yes, he is.
How many, is anybody looking to God to be your provider?
Yes.
Come on, you need to start looking to him where all of your faith comes from. I look to the author and the finisher of my faith who's already called it done. He said, I will be Jehovah Jireh. I will see to it provision is made for you. I have never yet seen the righteous of God forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I have yet to see it. Come on, church. I'm believing God. Anybody going to believe God for me? Come on, we got to believe God and know that God's got this. So anyway, they were talking and they said, you know, they said, and I said, well, what do you think's going to happen to the church if all these things that you're talking about is happening? And they looked at me. And they said, well, we'll go underground. I said, so if we go underground? I said, nothing is going to stop the church. Come on, the Bible said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell themselves will not prevail against it. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. Look at your neighbor, say, nothing will stop the church. Amen. I you know, sometimes I think, what are people thinking? Amen. We're still seeing people get saved on Sunday mornings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm still seeing lives changed by the power of God. I'm seeing it. I see some people that are ready to trust God. Come on, I believe I see some water walkers in the house. People are ready to stretch their legs outside of that boat. I know you've been comfortable for a long time, but you're starting to dabble your toes in the water. You're getting ready to take a step. Come on, that's what God's looking for. Men and women who will say, you know what? Yes, God. Yes, God, I'm ready to walk wherever you would have me walk. Nothing's going to stop the church. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the master builder. Amen. Say that with me. Jesus is the master builder. From time to time, as we strategize, as we think about what should we as the church be doing, if we're not careful, we'll focus on what ideas we think work. We'll focus on man's methods, and we'll principle things in such a way that we think this is what will grow a church. We need to know who really is the master builder. Come on, can we give some glory and credit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on, can we give some credit? Come on, give him a hand clap. Can we give the Lord some credit? Here's what happened in Exodus 25. Moses has been instructed by God on the house to build the sanctuary for God. Now, I like that. I want you guys to catch that verbiage. He's instructed by God how to build his house. In other words, what he's saying is, I have given you all the architectural designs to build me a sanctuary that I want. My designs. It's my plans. You will build it exactly as I choose. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 127 and 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Now that may sound like a conflict of scripture. It's absolutely not. What he's saying is I'm the architect. I'm the master builder. I am setting the design for you to follow my plan. Amen. I want you to do it the way I want you to do it. Amen. I want you to follow my direction. How many are getting the gist of what God's saying here? I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to walk in my footsteps. How many have found out that if you'll just follow his plan, you know, things just really go really well? How many have, just be honest with me, and I don't necessarily need a show of hands, just a smile will let me know. How many have ever been, you know, walking it out, but then decide you thought you had it, and you just started walking out your own plans? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And isn't it real easy once you get to walking your own plans, you forget where his plans were? You lose the, well, now where were those footsteps? I was doing, come on, church, I was doing really well, but somehow I got doing it my way. And that's, you know, I really thought about this concerning even PBFC and what God's doing. and what God wants to do. And we're always wanting to dream and believe, and we need to dream and believe, and I don't want to discount that. But sometimes we think we can manufacture or figure out what are the keys, what are the secrets. I got 7 keys. I got 10 rules. I got 10. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, many a battles are won on your knees. Come on, when you will get on your knees, and I mean really press into the presence of God and find out what God wants you to say, what God wants you to do. Come on, he wants to bless your hand, but you got to put your hand toward something. Come on, you can't expect him just to put a money tree in your lap and let you go out and pick $20 bills. You know, some of you would be happy with a money tree with just $1 bills, wouldn't you? You just, glory to God, I'll take a $1 money tree. You know what I'm saying? But you understand what I'm saying. You want God to bless, but he will bless you according to the plan that he already has for you set in Scripture. People say, well, you know, I know that that's important to you, but I got my own thing going with God. And I've always said to people when they say, well, that's amazing to me. So what you're telling me is God takes his word, which is the final authority, sets it completely aside just for you and him. Isn't that precious? Isn't that beautiful? But God doesn't just set his word aside. Come on. I'm talking about walking in his plan and in his will. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 2 tells us about the early church. He gives us some things that we'll call them blueprints. We'll look at it as God's architecture plan for the early church. I believe it is still sufficient for today. How many believe that? We are the Book of Acts church. How many believe that? You know, the church in Corinth was the first time the word Christian was even used. Everything from Calvary, from the cross, was realized when the Holy Spirit was poured out in that upper room. And it all started there. It all started there. How many know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. When Jesus was born, they were told to name him Emmanuel. You know, he goes by many names, you understand. But that means God with us. Emmanuel didn't just come with us, but Emmanuel entered us. Hallelujah. He's God now in us. Praise the Lord. God in us. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, they were filled. Everybody say they were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were filled with God. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 and 20. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will set up my residency inside of you. They gathered together as believers to have fellowship and to be instructed with the word. How many have gathered tonight for fellowship? And have you gathered tonight for some good old-fashioned instruction from the Word of God? Come on. How many came tonight expecting to hear from God's Word? Come on, did you come expecting? Did you think we were just going to get together and not have any teaching or preaching for you? Come on, you came expecting to hear from the Word. I've got to tell you, I've spent time preparing. I didn't come in and it was already there. I said, God, I'll tell you what, you just show up and put it up there. I'll just, whatever you put there, I'll just. Come on, Paul told Timothy, you study. You show yourselves approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, who's learned how to rightly divide the word of truth. Come on, do I have anybody that want to be a student of the Word of God? Come on, a student learning from him. That's what he's saying. So they gathered together as believers to have fellowship and be instructed with the word. Come on, this is God's blueprint for church growth. Yes. Well, that's as accurate as it can be. You absolutely can. The real correct, so we'll make very clear on this. How you rightly divide the word of truth or the word of God is you know what is the old and you know what is the new. That's how you rightly divide it. There are two major covenants that separate the Bible. There is the old covenant and there is the new covenant. How many believe we need to rightly divide it? So that we might just spend a couple of minutes here so that we get this. How many remember one of the first things that took place, and Jesus taught us a valuable lesson in this. Remember when he said you cannot put old wine in new wineskins. For when you put the old wine in the new wineskins, what would happen to the new wineskins? They will bust. They will burst open, doing what? Exposing what was hidden within. Are you with me? That is a picture of the old covenant and the new covenant. What it's saying is we're going to take the new covenant and try to hide it in these skins. It will burst. And the new wine's going to come forth. The new covenant is going to be shown. You cannot hide the new covenant. We cannot live by the old covenant and the new covenant. In fact, Jesus said, I don't want you to straddle the fence. Why halt you between two opinions? God wants, I don't want you hot or cold. Come on. I don't want you, I would rather that you were hot or cold. I don't want you lukewarm. I don't want you to straddle the fence between what is the old covenant and the new covenant. So righty dividing is knowing how to separate and understand what is the old covenant. How many realize the Old Testament is there for our instruction? It points us to Calvary. Everything of the old covenant gives us a picture of Christ as the Lamb of God. We need the old covenant. You understand? The old teachings, we need those things to instruct us how to appreciate the new covenant. Praise the Lord. So that we might understand that. So, as believers, we believe in the fellowship of the instruction from the Word. The next one, equipping believers. How many feel like you're being equipped? To be what? Both salt and light. For the purpose of evangelizing the world. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a soul winner. You're a soul winner. You're a soul winner. How many would believe what Jesus was said? He talked about the harvest being already ripe. He said that there are many that already are ripe unto harvest. I was asking Bo, I know Bo and Cindy planted a garden this year, and I asked him, have you already been enjoying the harvest of that? Yes, they're harvesting from what they planted. Can I tell you, for people to come into church, you need to invite them. Do you know that the number one reason people say they do not go to church is they'll say, I was never invited. Number one reason people do not attend any fellowship is because they've never been invited. Never been invited. Now, I'm not looking around, but I wonder if your neighbors know that you go to church and if you have taken the time to invite any of them. Have you taken the time to ask your neighbor to go to church with you? Have you made an invitation for them to go to God's house? Have you given them a reason to come? I want you guys to think. All of a sudden, everybody gets really quiet. Come on. God has equipped us to be salt and light for the one purpose of evangelism. Solomon says, the man that wins souls is wise. God, give us an evangelist heart. God, give us a heart to see the lost found. God, help us to be a light, to be salt, that will influence our neighborhoods, our jobs, that they will see and want what we have, and that they'll desire to be in the house of God. Amen. Trust me, you bring them, we'll preach the word to them. Amen. Amen. How many know that sheep beget sheep? Amen. In other words, you will produce of your kind. Amen. So it's your responsibility. You're out there. I'm not going to worry about trying to get you guys evangelized. I'm hoping we've already done that. I'm trying to make evangelists out of you. You go out and win them. Amen. All right. And then lastly, the sheep need to be fed. Amen? And that means you should come with an appetite to hear and know more about what God is wanting you to be and become. God wants you to be fed. God wants you. How many realize? If I had a primary responsibility as a pastor of this church, and that is to feed you, I don't take that responsibility lightly. I take it very seriously. My wife will tell you there are many times that I probably frustrate her somewhat because I will not stop my study time to do other things. There are times that she would probably not, don't be hard on her. You understand? She wants my time. And there are times I have to just say, I can't give you the time that you're wanting because this is study time. I used to try to explain to little boys when you're trying to determine what God's trying to help you get from Him so I can give it out. So I used to use the phrase, what was the phrase I used, guys? Did you guys both hear him? Did you guys hear him? I would tell them, I am trying to find the mind of the Lord concerning. And they would come. And so it almost got funny. They would say, have you found God's mind yet? I didn't know God lost his mind. But you guys understand. You know what they were saying is, Dad, I want time with you. And there were times I had to say, why? Because sheep need to be fed. My primary responsibility is to feed. What? What? I missed that. I didn't hear it. What, Clint? What, Daniel? You said nothing, Clint. What? What? Oh, they're making noises. You know, sheep can be noisy. They can be messy, too. All right. You guys are hilarious. All right, so we're going to take and examine for a few moments. Again, we're looking at the blueprints of God. We're looking at God's pattern because, you know what? I'm more interested in what God says grows a church than I am in what man says grows a church. Come on. I'm more interested in how to grow you by God than how to grow you through people. Are you with me? So we're going to look at a pattern of what I believe. I really believe this is a pattern for biblical church growth. Fellowship of the believers, that's pattern number one. Fellowship of the believers. Say that with me. Fellowship of the believers. How many believe it's important that we fellowship and get along? That we fellowship and get along. You know what a neat, cool thing it is that we really do love one another? You know how cool that is? Come on, I've traveled a lot of churches. There are churches I can feel the tension when I walk in. I mean, sister better than you. She's already upset with Sister Know-It-All. And I can tell you, there are a lot. You know, Paul dealt with it with the church of Corinth. He said, listen, I hear a lot of division coming out of the house. I'm hearing about schisms and problems and I'm hearing things I'm not happy with, and I'm writing you with a heavy hand and a heavy heart right now. This needs to stop. Come on, church. These things ought not to be in the house of the Lord among believers. Come on. If we're supposed to love the world, how much then as a church we ought to get along? If I'm to love those who have treated me wrong, how much greater then should I get along with you and I who are blood-bought? Of the same family. You guys with me? You guys are just really excited about this, right? Fellowship of believers. I believe that is absolutely essential. Look what it says in Acts 2:42. Acts is our blueprint. It's our pattern. They devoted themselves. Everybody say devoted. How many would agree with me? Not everybody's devoted. Come on. I mean, not everybody's devoted. I've got a few empty seats in the house. Not everybody's devoted. Just saying, not everybody's as committed as you are. Not everybody wants to hear the word as much as you do. Do you know, I can tell you as a leader that I get a little concerned when week after week people miss the house of God. I get a little concerned. I get a little concerned because I wonder just how much of feeding themselves they do. how much they're getting from God's word on their own. I'm not saying that people don't read, but I'm not sure how much people are studying. And I also believe in the preaching and the teaching of God's word. How many believe I'm anointed to do what I'm doing? You know why you get stuff from me? Because I've been anointed to give you stuff. And so I'm going to, some of you got to understand, I'm not trying to boast on me. I'm boasting on the giver of the gift. So, I mean, the reality is there are people that are not as committed and not as devoted as you are. Ken, I saw your hand.
I was just saying how much commitment does it take to be focused.
Well, that's a mouthful, brother. It's all about passion. It's about duty versus desire again, isn't it? Do I do what I do because I feel like I'm obligated to do it, or do I do what I do because I want to do it? Hello. Amen. You know, my boys, we talked about it a lot when they were growing up. They may not have had the passion, but they were going to do it. They had the duty. They didn't have the passion yet. They had the duty. They were going to be in church. We didn't negotiate with them.
Yeah.
I didn't ask them, guys, do you feel like going to church tonight? Get in the car. Get in the car. You're going. Yes. You know what? Amazing what discipline will do. Discipline will produce devotion. It'll produce commitment. Absolutely it will. How many have to do things you don't necessarily feel it at the time, but if you do it, you'll feel it? Come on, discipline will produce in your life. How many believe in some discipline? How many realize the word disciple comes from the word discipline? Amen. You know, you teach and you train and you example so that others can feel and understand that training and that example and they see it. Listen, many times you guys know there are times when I take a vacation, I still come to church. I may not preach because I took time away from my studies to devote my time to my wife, but I'm still here because why? It's my desire. Amen. It's my desire, not my duty, because I could take the time off. You understand? But it's my desire. Are you guys with me? All right. So I love this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves. They made it a personal commitment. I'm going to go to church. You know, when we gave our lives to Christ when we were younger, there was one thing that we were taught, and we were taught this very well, and I appreciate some of the teachings of what I grew up in. You never miss church. How many know what I'm talking about? Those of you that have been around for a while, you never miss church. I'm telling you, if the doors were open, you were there. How many know what I'm talking about? If the doors were open to church, you were there. Didn't matter if it was revival, you were there. Every night of revival, you were there. Didn't matter whether you had to work all day. Didn't matter if you went to church and we had long services. I'm going to be out. We're going to be done here in just a few moments. But when I was growing up, you didn't get out in just a few moments. And we took our boys, and they still had to get up and go to school in the morning. And when they got up and said, I don't feel like going, oh, you feel great, you're going. Yes, Daniel. Amen. Come on now. Absolutely. That's right. We believe that. Yes. Yes. Didn't get home. Didn't know until they got home. They went to put all 10 of them in 10 of them in bed and realized they were one short. They had to go back to the church and get their child. That's a true story. It's a true story. Come on, everybody say devoted. Amen. You know, I've had people say, you know what, I can tell you can count on me. I'm never going to miss another service. I'm telling you, this is going to be a brand new year. I'm not going to miss church at all, ever, one time. Yeah. Come on, I'm looking for some devoted people. Do I have anybody in the house that are willing to take a devotion statement? I'm going to devote myself, and I'm going to remain in the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Well, I don't really like to get with people. I don't really like people all that much. We got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Yes.
As Pentecostals, we definitely like
Amen. That's right. It's very true. It's very true. Hey, we're just fulfilling Acts 2:42. That's all we're doing. Every time we break bread, we're fulfilling Acts 2 and 42. Every time said you go break bread with somebody, they say, why are you doing? I'm fulfilling Acts 2 and 42. Amen. Yes. It absolutely, did you hear what she just said? It builds relationships. Everybody say, get connected. It's how we connect. Yes. And we're proving that full gospel title all the time. Yes. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much. There have been a few little slips. Those of you that know. Hey, you know why there's slips? Hey, we make mistakes, right? Okay. All right. So the first pattern we see is fellowship. Look at your neighbor and say, don't run alone. Tell your neighbor, together we can make a difference. Amen. Anybody glad that God didn't call you to be an island to yourself? Praise the Lord. How many believe that unity makes a difference and we ought to be really working together? Amen. Come on, we're not going to let the enemy rob who we are in Christ, are we? We are not going to separate ourselves from the fellowship. Amen. We're not going to stay home just because we want to stay home. I understand things come up, but I'm not just going to stay home because I really think I want to watch that TV show. Because that TV show is not going to grow you as a believer. Yeah, you can, today, come on. You can videotape, am I right, Daniel? Oh, he's a boy, let me tell you. All right, you guys understand, right? Pattern number two, everybody say praising God.
Praising God.
How many have ever had to praise your way through something? Has anybody found the secret of learning how to praise God in all things at all times? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Come on, you got to learn to praise God at all times. There are times, how many have ever found it difficult to thank God for what you're going through? But there is a secret to praising Him in the storm. There's a secret. You'll find it all throughout Scripture. You'll find it all throughout Scripture when people were put through something that they would cry out in praise to God, not whine to God, praise to God. And God would always see them through whatever they were in through praise. Amen. I will praise the Lord at all times. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Amen. There's something about being able to cry out to God in victory. I may not yet see it, but my faith is going to praise you anyway because you're going to bring me through it. If God will bring you to it, my friend, God can bring you through it. You've got to learn to praise God. Everybody say, praise God. The psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, church, we've got to learn to praise God.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. You've got to learn to give God all the glory, praising God, having favor with all the people. And look what happens when you praise the Lord. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Some of you have spouses and children unsaved. I'd be praising God for their salvations. Lord, I thank you. You are saving my spouse. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord. You are saving my children. Glory to God. I want to thank you, Lord, for restoration. I want to thank you for deliverance. I want to thank you for healing. I want to thank you for provision. Begin to learn to praise God. Amen. Amen. I believe that it's a part of what the church, that's Acts 2 and 47. So we're still looking at the Acts pattern. And the word of God continued to increase. I want you guys to know how important that is. Amen. I want you to know how important that is. I go back, I usually listen to these teachings on Wednesday night. I know that I teach for about 53 minutes, usually every week. Do you know how important it is for you to get 53 minutes of word? How vital that is. You ought to be going back and listening to these messages yourself. You ought to go back and hear them again and again and again. Hear these teachings. Oh, you know what? It would do you some good to hear the word more than just a few times a week. Come on. Yes? Look at this, guys. Stay with me now. Look at this. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Now, I want you to catch that. How many realize it didn't just say multiplied? It added a significant adjective to multiplied. Multiplied is an action word all by itself, but it added a description to how they multiplied greatly. If you eat too much at Thanksgiving, you don't just say you're full. I am really full. I am more than stuffed. Are you guys getting that? You put more with it. You don't just, it's just like when you call your children. Daniel, come here. Daniel, Edward, no. Come here. Daniel, Edward, Jacobson, come here. You understand it? There is greater emphasis. You understand? You guys are killing me. They greatly multiplied in Jerusalem. And listen to this, guys. Listen to this. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, catch this. Come on, we're talking about now what it takes to follow the pattern that God has established for church growth. It's when we who are ministers recognize our obligation because of our faith to be obedient to the faith. In other words, I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word, but I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. I'm not just going to say I'm a believer on Sunday and then live like the devil on Monday. Come on, I'm going to be this all the way. I'm going to be a believer all the way. I'm not going to just do it occasionally. Feels good today, so I'll go to church. Feels right. I don't serve God on my feelings. Come on, I don't serve him based on how I feel. Because there are times you might get up in the morning and not feel saved. You might not feel like it's a good day. Go anyway. Amen. Saul approved of his execution. He's talking about in the early church. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles were not scattered. Catch that. Why? Because they were grounded. But there were followers who were not committed. There were followers who were not devoted. And so when the persecution came, they ran. But the apostles knew in whom they believed. The Bible said we'd be like trees planted. Do I have anybody in the house that's planted? I mean, I am planted in Christ Jesus. Man, I got some scriptures I got to get through. Saul ravaged the early church. James, in the 12th chapter of Acts, is killed, and Peter has been imprisoned. Later on in that particular chapter, he was rescued, but in this state of scripture, we'll find that James has already been killed, and Peter was imprisoned, and there was a great assault on the early church. The death of Herod, Acts chapter 12, same chapter. Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes or his royal garments, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, look at this, the voice of a God, God in small letters. You see it? And not of man. Immediately, I'm telling you, if God did some of these things today, it would wake the church up. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck Herod down because he did not give God, capital G, the glory. And then he was eaten up with worms and breathed his last breath. I'm telling you, God, just one time. Just one, telling you, church, we could have a revival. I'm telling you, people would be busting the door down to get in. Let just one thing. I'm telling you, I'd love to have a funeral service and somebody get up out of the coffin. I'm just once. Just one. I don't need that to happen a lot. Just one time, please. Let it happen just one. I'd love to see one Ananias and Sapphira drop dead in church. Come on, just one time. Refusing to trust God, refusing to give. Come on, church. I'm not looking at any of you. I'm just talking here. Just one time. I'm telling you, we'd have church. We'd have church. I mean, you talk about people. We'd raise an offering. I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun. This is good stuff right here. I'm telling you what, it's good stuff. Nothing will stop the church. Look what happened. Acts 2, 12 and 24. I'm closing. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Why? When persecution came, the church did not. When the attacks come, do I have anybody willing to stand up in the church no matter what? I mean, I don't care what comes against us. I don't care. They take our tax exemption. It's not going to stop us, is it? They tell us we can't go to church to worship God. It's not going to stop us, is it? Come on, nothing. Listen, God's going to have a church. I want to be that church. Don't you want to be the church? Amen. I am the church. How many are we are God's instrument in this age. How many believe that? We are God's plan for this age. Stand with me tonight. Amen. How many just feel like you want to give God a hand clap of praise? Do you want to do that? Wow. Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? Isn't he amazing? Is anybody happy that you've been born again by the power of God? Is anybody glad that you're a new creation? The old's gone, the new has arrived. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's been distributed, given to each one of us. We thank you for that, God, empowering us, equipping us, God. Lord, making us more than conquerors, making us more than overcomers. God, thank you. Thank you for your investment, your trusting in the church, the body of believers. Thank you, Lord. We will not let you down. We will not let you down. We will be that church that you've called for this time, for this age, for this people. We will be what you've called us, light and salt. We will make a difference because together we can make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. God